rebel souls, deserters we are called. Chose a gun and threw away the sword. Now these towns, they all know our name. Six guns sound is our claim to fame. I can hear them say, bad company, and I won't deny. Bad, bad company, till the day I die. Yeah, till the day I die.
All right, here we go. Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. So, you know, what a crazy, crazy sequence of events we're witnessing unfold here. This looks very dubious, to say the least, on the part of certain factions in the Israeli government. Okay. I'm watching former IDF people, you know, Israeli military vets on floating around talking about this would never happen. No way this could have happened, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, unless this was, you know, basically, you know, let a lie hop, a my hop, make it happen on purpose, let it happen on purpose operation. You know, I just pulled up Drudge a little bit ago, and this is where I first saw this yesterday morning. I went to, had to get some things done at work, and I pulled it up, and I just saw it. And I immediately got a very, very bad, bad feeling due to the fact that I don't like to see things like this go down, regardless of my personal feelings and this, you know, so forth and so on. Due to the fact that I know how this stuff affects people that are powerless in these situations, whether it's people in Gaza, you know, civilians, people just trying to live their lives, and then some of the people in Israel as well. They're all under the yoke of these de facto states and government entities. Let's just say Palestine's not really a state yet, but you're always under control of some faction. Like we're here in the United States, we've got this de facto cabal, this uniparty. But the real power, of course, is the money changer power. And, you know, I got all these headlines up on Drudge, you know, Iran's getting pulled into this, of course. This whole Hamas construction and, you know, those of us that have been doing radio on this network have dug into the Shin Bet, most likely having a very integral part in the founding of Hamas. You know, I've been listening to various people commenting, and, you know, the people love to create their own boogeymen, and so and then they like to divide and conquer. So you had Arafat and the PLO and Fatah and all that stuff, and then you have Islamic Jihad, and then you also have Hamas and all this Muslim Brotherhood stuff in the background, which has ties, of course, to London. It's a horrible situation when you see stuff like this go down, and then you see, you know, you look at this. I'm sure most of you have seen the pictures of this, I guess, dance party, rave party, whatever you want to call it, out in the desert sort of thing over there near the Gaza. And, you know, you get into the protocols and you talk about the management of the lesser brethren concept, where the elites, you know, the elders of Zion, so to speak, the elite gangs running the Israeli government, really using some of their own people as cannon fodder. We saw this in World War II a bit. And we see this now with, let's just say, the more conservative religious elements of Israel not really liking some of the secular Tel Aviv crowd, the LGBT types and so forth. And they'll throw them under the bus in half a second if it moves forward, this agenda. So I'm just going to kind of do a smattering of coverage here of this, because we've got freaking aircraft carriers going over this way and all this other stuff. And so the Ukraine thing goes down, and, you know, that seems to be very interesting with Henry Kissinger's comments some years back saying that Israel won't exist in its present form type thing in so many years. And you really have to look at these backroom deals going on with Washington and London and the Israelis and the government of Saudi Arabia and Bahrain and Dubai and the UAE and so forth, this kind of attempt at normalizing relations and that sort of thing. And then now you see Hamas, which is, depending on who you listen to, they're a tool of the Iranians, they're a tool of the Shin Bet, the Israeli state, through back channels and so forth. And so now you're seeing the Taliban in Afghanistan asking for free passage through Iran to get to this fight. We're seeing reports of Taliban weapons making it to Gaza, Iranian weapons and so forth, Ukrainian weapons, Zelensky trying to throw the Russians under the bus. Other people throwing Zelensky under the bus that somehow Ukrainian weapons have ended up in Gaza. People talking about Barack Obama in the background, kind of helping facilitate some of this. I mean, it's the speculation is everywhere. Okay. And so, first thing we're going to play, Mr. Producer, get clip three ready. Now, this is Patrick Bet-David and his crew, and you got this character that's one of Patrick's buddies and cohorts on the show, Adam Sosnick, okay, some millionaire, Miami-type dude, Jewish. And let's just listen to him talking. And, you know, it's interesting, this is a 50-year anniversary of the Yom Kippur thing and so forth and so on. So let's just listen to this off the flip, and then we'll kind of jump around. But go ahead and play a little bit of clip three.
Oh, here's what's going on. Last week was Yom Kippur, which is the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. It's the Day of Atonement, and this attack took place, talk about symbolism, on the 50th day of the anniversary of the Yom Kippur War, which was in 1973. Year. So Do you want to get into some of the details?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Well, coinciding sort of with all this, I don't know how closely you guys pay attention to Israeli politics. It's not exactly I wake up and read Israeli politics, but I was just there. I took my mom for the first time in 30 years, and she lived on a kibbutz back in the day. I went for a wedding, and you saw the protests that were going on against Bibi Netanyahu. Okay, Benjamin Netanyahu is the longest standing prime minister in Israeli history. I think this is his 16th year, his fifth term. It started in early 2000s or late 90s. He's been around forever. But the whole premise with him right now is he's sort of he runs the Likud party, sort of the Trump of Israel, basically. He's sort of the right wing there. And he's been, you know, accusations of fraud and embezzlement and what have you. You know, whether that's right or wrong, that's the sort of what's going on. But where he's come under heat lately is because he's basically trying to reform the Supreme Court because he feels they're too liberal. So the platform that he's been running on is that he's the guy that's going to make Israel safe, okay? There's no doubt that whether you're left and right, because it's you go to Tel Aviv, it's very, very left. Like LGBT, pride, all that. You go to Jerusalem and it's, I mean, as conservative as it gets.
Yeah.
So he's trying to reform the Knesset, the Supreme Court and the parliament over there, because he feels they've gone too liberal. But he's been running on the platform that he's the guy that's going to keep Israel safe. From what I'm hearing, because I text my buddy who I was at his wedding, he's like, yeah, this is, I thought this would basically make citizens coalesce, like sort of how like 9/11 happened here, and like, didn't matter if you were Republican or Democrat. I said, what's your take on this? And he's not a Bibi Netanyahu fan. I said, will this make you appreciate him more, right? He goes, no, it's the exact opposite, because the entire platform he ran on was he's the guy that's going to keep Israel safe. So what you're kind of sort of hearing on the ground is, what happened, Bibi? What's going on? This is not a good look for the IDF. It's not a good look for Mossad, who's the intelligence agency. And basically the story is, this was sort of a coordinated sneak attack. It was land, air, sea,
paragliders,
right?
Paragliding, boats, everything.
They're going in there.
Rockets,
and,
everything.
Netanyahu has officially declared war on, just to be clear, Hamas. Now, how familiar are you guys with the concept of Hamas? So Hamas is a militant terrorist organization that the U.S. government has labeled terrorist. They're sort of a Hezbollah from Iran. And they were founded, I believe, in 1987 with the basic premise that they will never, ever, ever recognize the state of Israel. And they came from the origins, I believe, of the Muslim Brotherhood, which sprouted out of Egypt, I want to say. And they reject all peace agreements whatsoever. So now I think 5,000 rockets have been fired to Israel. There's been 500 injuries.
So you see, he's giving you the mainstream kind of where the Christian Zionists get their information and so forth. Patrick Bet-David being an Iranian Christian and so forth. So he basically gives you the overview of an American Jew, okay, that's really not, you know, he's not going to tell you the deep secrets of the possibility of the Israeli state creating a faction such as Hamas to keep the tension there, basically as a buttress against the formation of a Palestinian state, due to the fact that they'll never recognize the Israeli state, you see. And so you create a radical enemy, and then therefore you don't ever have to come to the table and deal with the possibility of a two-state solution, so forth and so on. Kind of crazy, okay? Now, let's talk about... Okay, let's get clip 12 ready, Mr. Producer. And we'll listen to a little bit of this. And it starts off with one of these population control jerks. But think about this with war. You know, I mean, there's people calling for the leveling of Gaza. Nikki Haley, Laura Loomer, all these people. Now I'll try to read some of that in a little bit if I can. But let's listen to a little bit of clip 12 here.
Well, I mean, we haven't invented new ways of raising the death rate. Famine, pestilence, and war. I mean, those are the ones we have. they, you know, they manifest differently depending on the technology that you're using. But that's the way. And it won't be just one thing, I don't think. It will be, you know, it'll be a variety of things.
All right, huge breaking news. So I'm sure you've heard about this conflict going on in the Middle East right now between Palestine and Israel. Well, I had a really bad feeling about this, reading all the commentary, reading the politicians' statements, and seeing that the United States is sending the world's largest aircraft carrier to the Eastern Mediterranean. This is a disaster in the making. Now, according to news reports, a lot of people have already died in this conflict. And it's already a huge humanitarian crisis. But to me, it seems like this could have been designed to bring about a world war. And we're seeing the dominoes fall. The other crazy news is that Israel is basically saying that we're going to go invade Gaza because Hamas is there. And a lot of people are calling for it to be completely leveled and firebombed and destroyed, which I'm 100% against. This is so obscene, so atrocious, so evil, and way too prevalent of a worldview. So I'll be watching this very closely. We'll be doing a live stream later tonight, I think. We're hearing news that in the next 24 to 48 hours, the onslaught from Israel and its allies will really begin in the Gaza region. It also seems like the Israeli government and its allies are engaged in crimes against humanity, against all the many innocent people who live in Gaza. Israel announced that it would be cutting off the electricity to the region and also blockading supplies going in. That's the impression I got from what I read. They told all the residents to evacuate the region, because basically it was going to be firebombed. This is so evil. And I can't be the only one thinking that this is totally disproportionate, uncalled for, and incredibly savage and barbaric. Man, the last couple days I've been going through the news and it's just heartbreaking. I don't stand with either side. I stand with the good people in the crossfire. For the past couple days, I've been reading all the comments on Twitter, and it's despicable how people are talking about these residents of Gaza, wanting to wipe them off the map and annihilate them, and, quote, turn them into a parking lot. That's the talking point. And it seems like there are a bunch of agents on the internet pushing this along. Now, they're saying that there was a big terrorist attack. I haven't seen compelling proof that they've nailed the culprits and that it has anything to do with the people of Gaza. To me, this whole thing is atrocious. This is unacceptable. 2 million people live on the Gaza Strip. And certainly you haven't found them all guilty in a court of law. Yet we're going to have collective punishments. They've already told everybody to evacuate their homes, leave the area. And apparently this is going to escalate in the next 24 to 48 hours, according to sources on Twitter. It's also ambiguous. Look here. American officials estimate in a conversation...
Where are they going to go? Hey, get out. We're about. I mean, where are they going to go? Where can they go? Israel, have all U.S. This is from Blackbird, sent me this stuff earlier. Have all U.S. politicians under your thumb. Have one of the largest global intelligence and surveillance operations known to man. Have near infinite military support from the U.S. Have Iron Dome. Somehow get surprised attacked by a bunch of goat effers Fortnite gliding into your country. Get blown up by 5,000 rockets. Be completely bewildered how they obtained arms and their plans. Am I seriously supposed to believe this crap? They knew nothing about what was going to happen. They welcomed this with open arms just to justify an ethnic cleansing campaign. Kim.com. Understanding the Hamas attack on Israel, Iran is aiming for a confrontation with Israel and the U.S. The success of Russia and Ukraine is encouraging Iran to undo decades of hostile U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East. A bankrupt U.S. government has just been invited to another war. I mean, think about this Soleimani hit while Trump was in office, killed one of their most beloved military heroes on an airstrip in Iraq. The timing is opportunistic. The U.S. government is forced to print trillions of dollars as it struggles to raise new debt. Well, print trillions and just computer entry, more or less, if you really want to, talk about that. Another war would lead to a significant increase in inflation and an accelerated economic decline in the U.S. If Iran mines the Strait of Hormuz, the global energy crisis would become critical. I sailed through there a couple times when I was on a Westpac, and we stopped in Somalia and the UAE and all that stuff. The Biden administration has used the majority of U.S. oil reserves to stabilize domestic oil prices. Iran can increase the pain for the U.S. government significantly. Ukraine is turning into a major defeat for the U.S. and NATO. A new front in the Middle East would accelerate the U.S. decline. The U.S. government and its Western partners simply cannot afford it. Russia and China would benefit most. Iran understands this and is playing into the hands of its partners. I mean, think about this cocktailed with the invasion going on right now into the United States. Think about Italy and the islands and being overrun. Think about Sweden. Think about Germany, France. You've been watching this stuff about bed bugs in Paris and all the hotels during Fashion Week and all this, and now they're saying the London Underground has got a bed bug infestation. You just let all these freaking people from the fourth world and walk into your land, and you don't think you're going to have pestilences and bugs and all this? I'm going to play this other clip in a little bit. Laura Loomer, there's no such thing as Palestine. It's always been a figment of the imagination of Islamic terrorists and Jew haters. Israel belongs to the Jews. For the sake of humanity and what is righteous and good in the war on evil, Israel must level Gaza, flatten it into a parking lot, and then glass it. You know what glass it means? That means nuke it. The one-state solution doesn't include a world or a scenario where Israelis can coexist with Hamas animals and their sympathizers. They must be shown through IDF force that they don't exist and their pretend homeland doesn't exist. We will not recognize these animals, and the entire world must unite in rejecting them and denying them any sense of dignity. You know, there's people in Palestine that call the Israelis monkeys, and they all call each other animals and monkeys. So it goes back and forth. There's no reasoning with Islamic terrorists. Every single Hamas terrorist and terror sympathizer must be killed by the IDF. IDF can give 24 hours to women and children so they can evacuate. Where to? Where can they evacuate to, Laura? But then Gaza must be destroyed. See, they want to destroy Gaza, and you know, that could be an extension of the beaches in Tel Aviv. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens here, but Khazaria 2.0 on the horizon, some sort of a retreat point for Ashkenazi Jewry if they really want to go back to ancient Khazar. They done cleaned out all the white people in the Ukraine, or enough of them to where I guess they think they could move there and take over completely. There's a reason why no other Islamic country in the Middle East wants the Palestinians in their country. Their entire existence revolves around hating and killing Jews. There's no peace with these people. We can't coexist with barbarians who teach their children to kill Jews from the time they're born. There will never be peace in the Middle East, but there is life, and Israel has a right to protect that life. And that's Laura Loomer. The hijacker sent me this one. Israel made a major, major mistake. It would be almost like losing your queen for a pawn in chess. Nobody believes, not even the Jews in Israel, that this attack was not known about by Israeli or American intelligence. Their only way out is to create a major, major false flag in the U.S. Maybe cyber attacks, shutting down power grid and internet. I mean, this week. They will not even be able to show Israel bombing, leveling apartment buildings, burying whole families alive. They got to go for at least an internet shutdown. Very, very bad. And, Mr. Producer, get clip 10 ready. And this kind of segues or dovetails into what you're seeing floating around. Let's go ahead and hit it. Go ahead and do 10.
Video. And it's a black guy, and he's from another country, and he's holding out this card. And he said, yeah, the UN sent me over here. I'm a soldier for the UN, And they gave me this card, and it's got a computer chip in it, like a bank card, you know. But it's got the guy's picture on it, information, number. This guy's he's a number. And, you know, he's telling them that he was told, he was given a phone, he was given this card, and he was told to go to a certain city and get a place to stay and wait. They would get in touch with him through the phone, I guess a mass text message or something, and tell him where to go when they needed him to do something. But basically, he was free to come into the country and hang out. Now, listen, he's not just going to come live here. If he's a soldier for the UN, he's not going to come live here for 6 months and then pay him $2,200 a month. Okay? Whatever they're planning on doing it within, I would say, the next 90 days to 120 days. But he's gonna go get a place to live.
All right. So basically, that's somebody saying that some of these characters coming in, you know, they got these cell phones, they've got identification cards, and at the right moment here in the U.S., just as they did this October 4th mass text out here to everybody from DHS or whatever. Emergency broadcast, blah, blah, blah. These guys are all going to get messages of where to go and, you know, that sort of thing when things go operational. And so pretty harrowing thought to think that so many of these people coming here are here for a mission, but we've been talking about this for quite a bit. Now, we're coming up on break, but I remember before this whole Gaza-Israel thing erupted, there was all of this. I was looking at pictures of Netanyahu with all the military leaders in Israel, and I just picked up a smattering of articles over the last few weeks. This was from September 12th. Ahead of high holidays, U.S. Jewish leaders stressed the need for security and vigilance as anti-Semitism surges. Okay, so everybody was on heightened alert here in the United States and in Israel. September 14th, All Israel News. Israel on high terror alert as Jewish high holidays approach. 300 significant terror attacks prevented already this year, says Shin Bet director. This is from September 14th, folks, about 3 weeks ago. So you mean to tell me when they're all on high terror alert that they're just gonna let all these Palestinians walk in and snatch people at rave parties and out of their homes and all this crap and kill hundreds of people? Something stinks here. Something is strange. We will see you on the other side of the break, and we will continue.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Broadcasting Network. If you have the ability, support the network. Go to the stores, support the sponsors, that sort of thing, folks. If you have the ability, the network always needs funds to keep pressing on. Gosh, you know, I was thinking, and I've talked about this over the last few weeks, about this character sitting there on this throne in England, Charles. And a lot of people are looking at Charles and a lot of the kind of eschatology crowd, and to see if they're feeling him out, to see if he fits the kind of the Antichrist figure. We're in 2023. This big push for things to be done by 2030. So that's 7 years from now, this tribulation period that's talked about in the scriptures. It's just pretty fascinating. It's something to keep our eyes on. Now, this is from September 19th. Israelis and U.S. Jews kick off anti-Netanyahu protests in New York. So, are all these people filling the streets of Manhattan, you know, and they're all pissed off at Netanyahu over the Supreme Court kind of thing that they had going on there. from September 20th in first face-to-face meeting. Netanyahu and Erdogan of Turkey discuss Israel-Saudi normalization. And so a couple weeks later, here we have this whole thing break out with Hamas and the Israelis. So is there this possibility that someone is attempting to sabotage the kind of Abraham Accords trend that's been moving around in Middle East circles? Are there players in the background that are trying to torpedo Israeli-Saudi normalization, Israeli-UAE full normalization, Bahrain, and that sort of thing? It's something to definitely keep our eyes on. So let's move on. Times of Israel. This was from September 26th, just a few days ago. Erdogan says Netanyahu may visit Turkey in coming months. Then he'll reciprocate. So Turkey and the former head of the caliphate. Turkey was in on trying to topple Assad in Syria, and then things are ramping up again in Syria. So, you know, there's a lot of snakes in all of these, let's just say, heads of executive branches or the executives of these countries. The amount of, you know, cloak and dagger and skullduggery and the things that these guys have to do to stay in power in these Muslim countries is fascinating. The palace intrigues and so forth. And even with the Israelis, all the palace intrigues with the Israelis and their leadership. Look at the United States and all the crap that's going on there with this. You know, you got this person with what's becoming severe dementia, a former real creep with real dementia, sitting there in our, executive at the head of our executive branch. What a terrible, terrible thing here. Get clip 14 ready while we're talking about Biden, Mr. Producer. A lot of you guys, if you're younger, you might not remember this about Biden. See, Biden tried to run for president a long, long time ago. He tried to scratch his way up and become a presidential contender in the Democrat Party way, way back, like 30 years ago. And, you know, I briefly remember Biden, but this is some old news clips of this character. And so he's a congenital liar. Okay, this guy's a real turd in the punch bowl. And it's fascinating how he stayed in the Senate and he waited long enough for people to forget some of this stuff or enough people to forget some of this stuff. But he was he got ran out out of presidential consideration a long, long time ago. Let's play clip 14.
Biden may have more explaining to do.
The new questions stem from taped remarks of Biden during an April campaign appearance in New Hampshire.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship, ended up near the bottom of his class,
and won only one degree, not three.
Joe Biden ranked 76th in a class of 85 at the University of Syracuse Law School. I mean, this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
Now Biden says Newsweek is right. His memory had failed him.
And I'd be delighted to sit down and compare my IQ to yours if you'd like, Frank.
Joe Biden was victimized by the truth.
Bye-bye Biden. He may not know it yet, but I think this is going to be very difficult for him to recover.
Is Joe Biden dead meat, yes or no?
I think so.
Bob.
He's in terminal condition.
Terminal? Eleanor.
Yes, unless he comes in third in Iowa.
Morton.
Dying.
I say dead.
Now, isn't that amazing? And so you're asking yourself, how is it in the...
So that was Biden. He tinkered with presidential politics. The guy just embellishes everything. And that was when he had his mind. And he's probably, you know, molesting his daughter and all that during that time. I mean, what a sicko. But he's the type of guy that the Jesuits love. You know, Jesuit Joe Biden, of course. He, you know, fake Roman Catholic. Him and all them Jesuits just love each other, and they all love kids, probably too, don't they? Anyway, September 20th, Netanyahu and Zelensky discuss shared concern of increasing military cooperation between Russia and Iran. You see this? So now Zelensky, the Jew, meeting up with Netanyahu, and they're talking about military cooperation between Russia and Iran, Hezbollah in the Lebanon being closely aligned with the Shiites in Iran, and then this relationship with Hezbollah and alleged relationship between Hamas, Iran, Hezbollah, and so forth. It's a perfect kind of story to really throw Iran under the bus here. And I'm not saying Iran's not intimately involved with all this stuff. They very well could be. You know, all the Bible prophecy people, I mean, for decades and decades have always been talking about this alliance between Russia, Iran, so forth and so on, in the Battle of Armageddon and all this stuff. So we'll have to see how this all plays out, but it's fascinating to just watch. Okay, because, you know, the Van Impies of the world, the Lalands, the, you know, everybody's been always talking about Russia and Iran coming against Israel and the end times and all that. Jewish Telegraphic Agency, September 22nd. Netanyahu touts prospects for an agreement with Saudi Arabia and possibly the Palestinians in a UN speech just some days back. See, now you got the boogeyman to attack the crap out of you, and you sit there and you put your defenses down purposefully. They snatch some expendables from your side, and then everything's off. We get to go bomb the crap out of the place, turn it to glass, as Laura Loomer says. October 3rd, Netanyahu said to meet Ben-Gvir. Okay, one-on-one after minister left out of security talks. Prime Minister and his allies reaching out to Otzma Yehuda leader to undo damage as well as address demands on reducing prisoners' rights, but unclear if any progress, and made a sit-down. So he reportedly hosted National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir for a private meeting on Sunday in an attempt to defuse tensions after Ben-Gvir was excluded from a high-level meeting on security matters earlier in the day. So on the 3rd, the National Security Minister somehow gets cut out of a high-level meeting on security matters earlier in the day. I wonder what the hell was going on. It was probably they were planning this op, is what I'm guessing. It's possible. Okay. Very, very weird stuff. Okay. So let's see, we got time. Mr. Producer, get clip 13. This was Alex Jones today. And I was pleasantly surprised with Alex's you know, take on things today. Usually he's very, very Now, he throws Iran under the bus, but other than that, he basically throws the Israelis under the bus for probably purposely letting their guard down. Let's go ahead and listen to clip 13.
But I made a lot of phone calls to people that have worked for the CIA, for the Department of Defense, and others, including some that work in this building. And they agreed with me, actually asked their opinion, and they told me their opinion before I even went on air, that this was Iran mainly behind it, and a lot of other key points. Now, there are scores of former Israeli intelligence agency individuals who were in Shin Bet Mossad. Israeli military intelligence has gone public saying there's no way Israel had this big an intelligence failure. Tens of thousands of Hamas, Hezbollah-backed troops going in. Now more than 7,000 missiles fired in 24 hours. Armored vehicles, trucks, motorcycles going in, bulldozers, and hours and hours and hours before any main Israeli forces were moved into the area to block it. When they know the main threat comes out of the Gaza Strip, they knew there was massive movement. They knew there was huge preparation. They have spies embedded throughout that area of the Middle East and throughout areas that they don't hold, what the Palestinians call occupied Palestine. So the first big takeaway is you can bet your bottom dollar those in Israeli stand down. And whereas right, we're sad ahead. For those that were killed.
Go ahead and stop it and move it to 507 real quick. So, I mean, Jones, he's calling stand down, which is pretty fascinating. Go ahead and start it back up at 507.
Okay, let me just give you the summation up front of what's going on. For sure, undoubted, absolute fact. Can't argue with it. It's overwhelming. And then I'm going to drill through all the evidence. I tend to go through all the evidence. That takes hours, and then give me the answer at the end. I'm going to tell you what's going on. I'm sure a lot of you are going to agree with me. Some of you are not going to agree. But here's the facts. Here's the reality. This is disgusting tribal religious war. War is horrible. I repudiate what Hamas, run by Hezbollah, has done, and Israel is going to flatten the Gaza Strip, and Israel's going nowhere with thousands of nuclear weapons. And our hearts go out, I know mine do, and the crews do, to the men, women, and children that have been killed needlessly, senselessly, and been taken into captivity. That said, I don't like some of the indiscriminate bombing that's also been disgusting that we've seen by Israel against the Gaza Strip. But this is sectarian war going on for 70-plus years and thousands of years ago. Before that, the Jews have kicked the Greeks out, the Romans out, everybody else out for 3,000 years from that area. They've lived in peace many times with the Arabs. That's good, but that's not what's going on. That's the historic reality. Now, let's pull back from this. Here's the facts. And there are countless Mossad, Shin Bet, Army intelligence, you name it, individuals, journalists, in their new incarnation, saying there's no way that the Mossad and that Shin Bet, the internal security force of the Israelis, who have literally tens of thousands of spies in the Gaza Strip, there's over 2.5 million people, did not know there was an attack coming now with 7,000 missiles. Now they're saying 20,000 men and women, trucks, motorcycles, hang gliders, light aircraft, drones being prepared to launch. I mean, the United States knew months before Russia was building up troops about to go into Ukraine a year and a half ago, and the Pentagon was accurate. They said, we believe they're about to invade. I saw the buildup months before in October, 3 months before, and I said, 4 months before, and I said, I believe they'll invade by the end of February, because that's when they have a month left before it unfreezes and the tanks can't go through all the mud. And they invaded on October 24th, 2022. So it's easy to call all this. So here's the bottom line. And it's not about demonizing the Israeli government. It's not about demonizing Benjamin Netanyahu, though he's very unpopular and as he's setting up the judicial reform that's very police state-ish, just like we see happening here. But it's just a fact, okay? And so you ask, how was he elected the leader of Israel? Same way Justin Trudeau is. It's a parliamentary system, so you can get 30% of the vote and roughly depending on the parliamentary setup, and still be the president or prime minister. So that's what's going on. So, yes, this does help Benjamin Netanyahu cement power, expand power, unify the government behind him. I'm not saying he's behind the attack. I'm not saying he's a villain in this. I'm saying these are the pieces I'm about to lay out before I give you the bottom line. And there's no debating this bottom.
Okay. So this is up on State of the Nation, Operation Wag the Dog. These Palestinian surprise attacks against Israel are not what the CIA's Mockingbird media is reporting. Palestine only ever attacks Israel because Tel Aviv planned it that way. Because PM Netanyahu is in super desperate need of a war to distract the populace from so much institutional criminality and corruption and worse. MyHop made it happen on purpose, okay? The premise, nothing that happens in Israel can ever be taken at face value. And whenever it concerns Palestinians, you know that the Israelis are lying through their teeth. First of all, you know, if CNN is reporting this utterly fake event, it's being staged with melodramatic effect to distract the whole world from, you name the crime against humanity or ongoing genocide. After staging the Hala hoax and maintaining the biggest cover-up in modern history, does anyone believe this a single word that comes out of Tel Aviv? Keeping the Holocaust industry profitable in so many ways is perhaps the greatest feat in the history of humanity, yes? Which brings us to the alleged attack by Palestine. As the previous link of the title states, Tel Aviv knew this was coming and did nothing to stop the attack on purpose. Isn't that their MO 24/7, where it concerns all things Palestine, especially when the current government is in such huge trouble with the citizenry? For those who are unaware, never in the modern state of Israel's history has the government been so at odds with the governed. We're talking about a full-blown rebellion against Netanyahu's nakedly corrupt administration. And in this, I'm going off script here, but basically this feeds into this kind of right-wing Likud religious factions all willing to throw the kind of Tel Aviv beach going party kids faction under the, you know what I'm saying, under the bus, because there's this huge divide in Israel. If you just do some digging and listen to the people there talking about this divide between the secular and the ultra orthodox, it's a big problem. The protests that have occurred throughout Israel during 2023 are unparalleled and completely without precedent. Therefore, Tel Aviv knows that the only way to short-circuit these constant protests and spontaneous demonstrations is to give the citizens something much more scary to worry about. Well, pray tell, what pray tell is scarier than this? And then he talks about the 5,000 rockets, blah, 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 blah. You mean Israel's much-vaunted Iron Dome couldn't stop a bunch of Palestinian-fired Roman candles launched from Gaza, and they actually got off over 5,000 of them? October surprise 2023. Everyone has been saying that this October is the month that things will jump off into uncharted territory, not that the entire planetary civilization has not already been in such a state of unrelenting chaos, confusion, and conflict. But when the beast system stages a really big event in Israel, you know things are getting very hot and heavy and an ominous end times happenings. Of course, all the church, the pastors, TV evangelists, all the Bible prophecy crowd that I was talking about earlier. I mean, this stuff's got people freaked. Look, no one does drama like the Israelis, and when they do it like they did in 9/11, the whole world community of nations is drawn into their mega show. And listen, the Palestinians do their own drama. You've seen photos of Palestinians laying around like they just got bombed by the Israelis, and then they all get up and walk off and laugh and so forth. So both sides do all of this theatrics to each other, all right? Why do you think they own and operate Hollywood forever? They had decades to protect their stellar showmanship and consummate manipulation of their audience. As for the choreographing of this latest war, it's common knowledge that there are more Mossad spies and spooks living in Palestine than there are real Palestinians. In light of that little data point, it ought to be very easy to see how Israel could pull off this classic false flag invasion in a New York minute. Remember, it was Israel's intelligence services which set up Hamas in the first place, so how easy it is for them to orchestrate a missile barrage like this one, as well as set up a bunch of terrorist cells in cities and towns close to Gaza. people, nothing happens in Israel unless it was perfectly planned that way, period. That was foreshadowing the Roosevelt comments from back in the day. And whatever does happen in Israel with global repercussions is especially designed to trigger other events which remain to be seen. Okay. So it's pretty fascinating breakdown. I tend to agree with a large portion of that. Unfortunately, a bunch of the so-called lesser brethren are caught up in this larger operation, which, you know, it sucks. But Mr. Producer, get clip one. We've got time for this one. This was on MSNBC, okay? And this is some general talking. Go ahead and play clip one.
Secondly, the point I want to make, Katie, for viewers is, to us as Americans, in some way, these numbers sound kind of small, right? Like 20 people killed or 40 people killed. I'd invite listeners to recognize there are only 7 million Jews in the state of Israel. So population adjusted basis, when 20 Israelis are killed or 20 hostages are captured, that's like 1,000 Americans. So if we get into 60 Israeli killed, we're looking at truly a 9/11 level event. And I think that number is going to be well above 60. They may have 20, 40, 60, 80 hostages right now. Those are big numbers. This is massive political, military, and diplomatic enormous movement that's going to come out of this over the next few days.
Admiral, we've been talking over the last couple of hours.
Thought it was an admiral. Excuse me. You see how he just makes it to, oh, this was like 9/11. You see all this 9/11 rhetoric. You see all this Pearl Harbor rhetoric floating around right now, coming out of Israelis and others. I have a deep sense of danger here, of what could spill over into other parts of the world and so forth and so on. So we'll see you guys after the top of the hour break.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.